It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegfrey.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Under workers' compensation, the one thing you give up is the right to sue your employer or a co-employee. If you ride in a car with a co-employee and he runs a red light and causes an accident and you're injured, you can't sue him. You get workers' compensation, but you can't sue him.
Private attorney John Oakey talks about workers' compensation, what's compensable, what's not, and how you get benefits if you're entitled to them. And we explore what's meant by employment at will in our weekly question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. This show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. In July, a federal court in San Francisco approved a settlement of a nationwide class action in a Medicare Part D prescription drug case. The litigation grew out of the massive problems faced by 6.2 million dual eligibles who get both Medicare and Medicaid, and whose poverty qualifies them for a low-income subsidy that cuts the cost of prescription drugs to only a few dollars. On average, dual eligibles rely on 10 more prescription drugs per month than other Medicare beneficiaries. The case was filed in April 2006, when delays in processing the low-income subsidy kept dual eligibles from getting their medication. Under the settlement, the enrollment process for the low-income subsidy should take one business day rather than the current 5 or 6 weeks. People receiving Medicare and Medicaid who need help from the low-income subsidy should contact their local Department of Social Services. In other news, the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, estimates that as many as 9 million Americans have their identities stolen each year. The FTC plans to survey identity theft victims and examine the remedies available under the Fair and Accurate Credit Transaction Act of 2003, or FACT Act. The FACT Act gives consumers the right to place fraud alerts on their credit files if they are, or suspect they may become, victims of identity theft, to block information on their credit reports that resulted from identity theft, and to obtain copies of their credit reports free of charge. The survey will ask identity theft victims about their experiences when they contacted credit reporting agencies and sought to use their rights under the FACT Act. To learn more about your rights if victimized by identity theft, go to www.idtheft.gov or call toll-free 1-877-ID-THEFT. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
This week's legal term of the week is unemployment compensation. Unemployment compensation is a state program to help workers who are unemployed through no fault of their own. Unemployed means not working or working and earning less than your unemployment benefits would be. You must have worked long enough and recently enough. You also must be able to work, be available for work, and be actively seeking work. You can't get unemployment benefits if you quit your job without good cause, if you're discharged for work-related misconduct, or if you don't apply for or accept suitable work. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's legal term of the week.
We're here in the studio with this week's questioner for the weekly question and answer session. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
I'm Lucretia, and I'm from Verona in Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you very much. What question do you have for us this week?
The question I have is, why do employers discharge their employees for wrongful discharge?
And you're asking basically what the law is about wrongful discharge in Virginia?
Yes, sir.
Virginia, unfortunately, is one of those states that has an employment at will doctrine. And what that means is that an employee can be discharged for any reason at all, a good reason, a bad reason, or no reason, as long as it's not a legally prohibited reason. And there's a very short list of legally prohibited reasons. You can't be discharged because of your race, religion, national origin, age, if you're 40 or older, gender, or disability or handicap. You also can't be discharged if that's in retaliation for you filing or intending to file a workers' compensation claim. You also can't be discharged if that's in retaliation for you filing a health or safety complaint with a government agency like OSHA. And lastly, you can't be discharged if that would be in violation of a union contract or an employment contract. But other than those reasons, you can be discharged for any reason, even if it's a bad reason, a wrong reason, or an untrue reason. Were you discharged for any of those reasons that I'd mentioned that are prohibited by law?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't. The untrue discharge part of the ending of what you just said, I believe I was discharged for an untruthfully reason.
And unfortunately, your best and only remedy in that situation is to apply for unemployment compensation, which I understand you have done. And that is a system that is paid for entirely by employers. They pay federal taxes to the federal government to fund the system that runs it. And they pay state taxes to the state government to pay the benefits to employees. And if they have a lot of workers who are unjustly fired and collect unemployment compensation, then their tax rate goes up. So that is a way in which employers who unfairly fire people do have to pay some type of financial penalty. But that's about the only remedy that you really have, is to apply for and get unemployment compensation. Have you applied for unemployment compensation?
Yes, I have already applied, but at this currently time, I'm getting the benefits, but the employer has filed an appeal on me, so I have to, you know, further go with that and see what the outcome is with that.
Okay, well, best of luck with that. We'll probably be assisting you. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM. We're here at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society with attorney John Oakey, who is a private attorney, a member of the board of directors of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and a very active volunteer pro bono attorney. John has extensive experience in workers' compensation, and that's what we will be discussing today. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
Let's start with the basic question, John. What is workers' compensation?
Workers' compensation is a law in Virginia, and actually all states have this law, that requires employers to carry insurance to pay employees who are injured on the job the certain benefits that are specified in the statute. It's actually a law in Virginia.
So who is covered by Virginia workers' compensation?
Well, the simple answer to that is that all employees are covered by workers' compensation. Sometimes you run into the problem is what is an employee and what's an independent contractor. An example is if somebody does work for you, says, on your house, they would be an independent contractor. An employee is someone who works for a company or a person or a partnership and is told what to do, usually has certain hours of work, and is usually paid by the hour or by a salary.
Okay. Are all accidents and injuries covered by workers' compensation?
Well, let me explain that. All accidents technically are covered by workers' compensation. Now, all of them may not generate benefits to the employee. If you are injured on the job, you assume that you are covered by workers' compensation and will receive benefits. There are certain accidents that aren't covered. Now, the accidents that aren't covered are those that involve a willful or improper conduct on the part of the employee, and such as intoxication, use of drugs that cause an accident, intention to injure another, really bad conduct. But and one of them that is not covered is violation of a safety rule or refusal to use a safety appliance. And I would advise anyone that has a problem with that to always seek an attorney, because in those cases there are a lot of technical defenses, and sometimes they don't always work. But all accidents are covered unless it's improper conduct on the part of the employee.
Now, I've heard that the accidents or injuries have to arise out of and be in the course of employment. Those kind of sound similar to me. Are they different? And if so, what is the definition of arising out of and in the course of?
Well, technically, they are different, but they really don't. They're not too far off. The in the course of just requires that you actually be on the job at the time, have a duty that you are doing for your employer. Arising out of means that it comes from the employment and not something else. I'll give you an example of a case that I had years ago where a lady was working in a restaurant and a tornado came through. And she was injured by the tornado. And the Workers' Compensation Commission held that that didn't arise out of the employment, that that would have occurred whether she had been an employee or anyone else on the premises at the time.
I see. So it gets quite technical. What about back problems? Are they covered by workers' compensation?
Back problems arising out of an accident are covered by workers' compensation. If you are working, say you're lifting something, and suddenly you have a pain in your back as a result of the work you're doing, that's clearly covered by workers' compensation. But Virginia has kind of what I think is a different law from most states in that it requires a specific incident or accident, actually a change in the body, as some of the cases have said. Case where it occurs over a period of time and it's very gradual and those no specific incident are not covered. Now, I'll give you an example of that, which has always bothered me. Let's say you go to work one day and you're required to do a lot of extra lifting that you hadn't done before, and you work hard all day, you hadn't been doing this for years, and you get tired and your back starts to get sore, and you never have any specific incident, but the next day you can't get out of bed. And you stay in bed for several weeks and have some, you may even have a serious back injury. That, under our workers' compensation law, is not covered because there's no specific incident or accident as the statute requires.
Well, now, what about diseases? I've always heard the term occupational disease used. Are occupational diseases covered by our workers' compensation law?
Occupational diseases are covered, and they get very technical. Most of the occupational diseases that I've run into involve lung diseases, such as silicosis, asbestosis, certain cancers of the lung, resulting from exposure at work. But any other, most of the diseases, there are such things as dermatitis, where you're required to work with some type of a chemical that could cause the dermatitis, are covered. Hearing loss and carpal tunnel syndrome are normally not covered, but if you can show by a preponderance of the evidence or a higher standard of evidence that they result from the employment, they can be covered.
So what should you do if you have a work-related injury? What's the first thing that a worker should do?
Well, if the worker has a work-related injury, the first thing to do is to report it. You're required to report it within 60 days, but even if you don't do that, you may still have a claim because there are certain times that you can be excused from making that reporting. And I would say 90 to 95% of workers' compensation injuries, the employer accepts it, reports it to the Workers' Compensation Commission, the insurance company takes over, and there's no problem.
So if that happens, if the employer accepts the claim, reports it to the Workers' Compensation Commission, pays you for your lost wages, for your medical bills, do you, the worker, still need to file something?
No, not if it's been reported to the Workers' Compensation Commission. If the employer just pays you and pays your medical bills and never reports it to the workers' compensation, you might be in a problem if, say, two or three years later, your injury comes back on you. And there is a two-year statute of limitations. You have to file with the commission within 2 years or you're out.
So your advice would be to always file if your employer has not filed.
Yeah. And in most cases, the employer will file. And, you know, In a certain number of cases, you may need an attorney, but you know you don't want to pay an attorney if it's being handled properly. And I think usually most big companies have someone you can talk to about what your benefits are and what's being how it's being handled by the company.
Now, what if the employer disputes the claim, claims that it either wasn't a serious injury or didn't arise out of or in the course of your employment, what happens next? What do you do?
In that case, you need to make a determination as to whether you're going to hire a lawyer or not. You don't have to have a lawyer. You can file with the commission, and there are actually many cases every year that are held compensable and all the benefits paid without attorneys. If you don't feel like you can do that, and I would recommend that you go to an attorney. There are a number of attorneys. You want to go to one that has experience in workers' compensation, and I think the best way is to talk to people that you know, maybe someone who's had a prior injury, as to what attorney they had, and seek an attorney that way. At the last resort, you can go to attorneys listed in Yellow Pages. The problems with that are that anybody can advertise in the Yellow Pages, and although I think probably most of them are competent attorneys, there are probably a few that I wouldn't want to recommend.
Well, does legal aid represent people in workers' compensation cases?
Now, legal aid doesn't represent people in workers' compensation, and the reason for that is that legal aid does not want to take a business away from attorneys that do that work. And in workers' compensation, the fee that's charged has to be approved by the Workers' Compensation Commission, and it's usually taken out of the compensation. And in cases that are disputed, what happens, it takes maybe 2 or 3 months to get it resolved. It could take longer. And by that time, enough compensation has built up that there's money that the attorney can be paid, and you still get a fair amount of money for your back pay.
So this sounds a lot like Social Security and SSI disability, where you don't owe a fee unless you win, and the fee has to be approved by the agency. Is that basically how it works?
Technically, the attorney can charge you a fee if you don't win. But I think they usually don't do that because most people who lose aren't able to pay. Let me mention one thing so everybody be clear. The benefits you receive on the workers' compensation. First, you get all of your medical expenses paid. You don't have to pay any deductibles. Second, you receive two-thirds of your average weekly wage. And when they go back to figure the average weekly wage, they take into consideration overtime. They usually go back a year to try to figure that out. There is a limitation. I don't really know the current limitations. It's probably $700 or $800, which would be the maximum that you could receive. If you have a very serious injury, you could receive those benefits for up to 500 weeks. And if you have a brain injury resulting in incapacity or paralysis or loss of two limbs, you can receive compensation for the rest of your life. They are the benefits that you receive.
Now, what if your employer fires you for filing a workers' compensation claim? Can they do that?
They can do it, but they're in real trouble when they do it. Under workers' compensation, the one thing you give up is the right to sue your employer or a co-employee. If you ride in a car with a co-employee and he runs a red light and causes an accident and you're injured, you can't sue him. You get workers' compensation, but you can't sue him. Now, if the employer fires you because you made a workers' compensation claim, or even fires you because you assisted an employee, testified for an employee, say, in a workers' compensation claim, then you have a civil suit that can be filed in the circuit court, and you can ask for a jury and try the case and seek damages, those cases are few and far between. And that's actually a fairly recent change in the statute. It's probably been 15, maybe 20 years. There have been very few cases on that because employers are scared to death of being sued by employees.
Well, we're running out of time, John, but I do have one final question. And what happens if your employer should have workers' compensation, but it turns out doesn't?
Well, let me say one thing. There is a provision that you have to have three employees before you have workers' compensation. So, and if you don't have workers' compensation and you have more than three employees, you're violating the state law and you're actually criminally liable. Plus, you are liable for the workers' compensation. Now, Virginia has, and I'm sure all states have, what they call an uninsured employers fund. It's administered by the Attorney General's office, and you will get your benefits from that fund. Now, by paying those benefits to you, that fund has absolute rights back against the employer who did not have workers' compensation, and they pursue that rigorously.
Well, thank you, John. We have been talking with John Oakey, a private attorney and a member of the Board of Directors of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, about workers' compensation in Virginia. Thank you so much for being on the show, John.
Okay, thank you, Marty.
Ain't gonna let discrimination turn me around. Turn me around. Turn me around. Gonna let discrimination turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking. Keep on talking. Marching up to freedom land.
We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about workers' compensation. The first tip is that if you are hurt or injured on your job, give written notice to your supervisor right away and save a copy. Don't wait longer than 30 days after the accident. The second tip is that if you are hurt or injured on your job, file a written claim with the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission. Do this even if you make an agreement with your employer. If you don't file a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission within 2 years of the accident, you may forever lose your right to workers' compensation. The third tip is that if you don't come to an agreement with your employer, contact a private attorney. Your employer would have an attorney, and you need one also. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Child custody cases are different from other types of lawsuits. They affect the very nature and structure of a family and have long-term consequences for young people. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, private attorney Mary Berkey Owens, explains child custody litigation and how these cases get decided. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Whitfree.